Welcome, everyone, to the Pop Culture Podcast by Fantastic Geek. My name is Matt, and joining me, as always, is Pete. Hello, Pete.
Hello, Matt. Hello, everybody. Here for our penultimate Star Wars Rebels Season 1 podcast of Rebel Resolve.
Now, Pete, penultimate means this is fourth until the end, right?
No, it actually means that I have a really good pen.
But joking aside, fair warning, next week will be the season finale for our Star Wars Rebels podcast, Siege of Lothal Parts 1 and 2, to be saved for a later date, as it is technically Season 2, which hopefully on the one hand makes you sad, but on the flip side means they return to Marvel Television previewing S.H.I.E.L.D., Carter, Jones, and Daredevil, getting closer and closer. But Pete, that's not our focus today. Are we going to have another episode on the planet Lothal?
We are.
And indeed, episode entitled Rebel Resolve, as you said, number 14 by our count. And Pete, are you ready to press go?
Let's go to hyperspace.
All right, on three. On go. 3, 2, 1, go. And Pete, if I didn't know any better, I'd say here we are back on planet Lothal.
We are, but we're in the streets, so it's different enough to keep you happy. And with the Empire sweeping in here after the events of the last episode, there's a sense of urgency right off the bat.
There is, and it's, you know, it's well done. I mean, certainly high action here. This is hardly stealing Meluron fruits. Instead, we're stealing pilots from ATSDs?
ATDPs, Matt.
DPs, of course. I forgot you were such a such an expert on the DPs.
I have no response for that.
Well, I will say, seems
directors
to be
of photography, I'm sure, is what you meant.
Absolutely. You're a big fan of lensing, and you appreciate you know, a good 70 millimeter print. I know you're looking forward to Hateful Eight, which will be lensed thusly. But back to this, Pete. I was going to say it's nice to see Sabine with two blasters there firing away. Go girl power.
Yes, and you know, the decision to kind of retcon a lot of the Imperial vehicles of war here, the Chicken Walker, along with the John Williams-esque Empire Strikes Back AT-AT music is it's good stuff.
It must be an interesting creative place for the musical composer of this series, whose name I must
Kevin
confess.
Kiner.
Kevin Kiner. As he sits in Kiner's corner, he must be interesting to say, okay, great, they've asked me to do this really creative and personal thing, sound like John Williams doing Star Wars. Again, I'm not saying it's good or bad. I think it's necessary for this series, and that's the job, and there's a reason you're scoring Star Wars Rebels and not, you know, Star Wars The Force Awakens, but, you know, them's the breaks.
I give him a lot of credit, having done Clone Wars and really having come along in that time. Yes, they ask him to ape a lot of moments from Williams's scores, but I think he does it ably, and will probably eventually get his own crack at one of the live action movies.
By the way, fantastic way to go to the title card there. You know, now we'll see if this Jedi turns out to be who he says he is, or similar dialogue, and then a very downbeat musical cue as we get the title card there a couple seconds ago. Really, you know, showing again the maturity that this show has taken in 14 episodes.
You can have the hijinks here and the seriousness behind it at the same time.
And I think it's completely with the source. I mean, you think of obviously some of the darkest stuff in Empire. You know, there's also lighter moments as well. And certainly look at the original trilogy as a whole. it's the same. Some would say that the prequel trilogy is itself a big joke, but that's a debate for another day.
Indeed.
Now, Pete, do you see let's wait until it comes back here on Sabine's helmet? There are these two kind of circular painted. It's kind of like a pink or an orange.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's a popular theory that says that whenever there's anything interesting painted on things, therefore it means that the Joker is not actually the Joker in Batman v Superman because somebody saw globs of paint on a statue in the trailer. Is Sabine the original Joker from a galaxy far, far away, a long time ago, all that jazz?
Yes.
Excellent. No filler on these podcasts, friends.
Oh, I wonder who Hera is talking to in this Jedi hood. Who could it be, Matt?
Pete, you want to talk about A New Hope? The great hope was that the greatest original character to spring forth from Clone Wars, whose story thread was cut short by the impromptu way in which that series was ended, would appear again. There's a great, rather low-tech video on YouTube, I'm sure there's many, where somebody takes this dialogue, filters it, and after about six times you go, that sounds like Ashley Eckstein. I was unaware of all of this. As much as I loved Star Wars Rebels the first season as it aired, I certainly was kind of not tied into the adult community surrounding it and the theory and this. I would just kind of watch it, consume it, live tweet it, text about it with you during the episode and kind of move on. And I bitterly regret watching this episode and going, oh, okay, she's mentioned Fulcrum before. I guess it's a mystery they'll deal with, as opposed to people who were just bonkers thinking that this was going to be Ahsoka.
It was a very poorly kept secret. The biggest problem I have with it is when the character is hooded, there's no way physically that Ahsoka's head tails fit under that hood.
Do you think... Well, I have no answer to that other than to say, I guess, shame on them. Do you think that there's a kind of, is there a trust between Ahsoka and Hera because they are women with head tails? They kind of know what that's like, where people underestimate them for their head tails?
I don't. I just think that they are smart, bold characters who are very similar.
Thank you for taking my joke and turning it into something sobering and a good reminder. Great shot here, by the way. If we're going to do the grassy plains of Lothal, light it with a setting sun, multicolored sky, amber waves of grain.
Why is there a Band-Aid on the one chair?
I don't think that's a Band-Aid. I just think that that's like some paint.
That is a pink Band-Aid. Ever I've seen a pink Band-Aid.
But there's a matching one on the chair behind Hera. I think it's meant to be a patch.
Tape. It's pink tape.
Well, okay, how about tape, not Band-Aid? It's tape because they're the jolly ship. Yeah.
Tape is Band-Aids for things.
Wow. I think we need to tweet that out just as soon as we're done recording this. Tape is Band-Aid for things, not people. The insight filleth the cup in this week's episode, doesn't it? Oh, Chopper, your crazy hijinks yet again.
I've got to know if there are more droids similar to Chopper's build, given that in the prequel trilogy, all the astromech droids look like R2 and similar, and in the original trilogy, same type of deal. So has he just been modded on his own? What's the situation with him?
Well, they we've had some characters recognize him as a you know, like on site. Oh, it's a C1. I mean, look, I agree it's a bit of a story hole. How about this though? We're at the, you know, we're at the frontier here. Now I know Luke is at the frontier as well, but do we see? We don't have much of an opportunity to see many types of droids on Tatooine. Certainly, thankfully, luckily, I should say, due to the vision of George Lucas, we have many, many more things now in Mos Eisley than we ever did before. But I digress. I mean, is it possible it's kind of like a beater model droid that you wouldn't see in the, you know, in the halls of the Senate and so forth?
He bears a striking resemblance to a droid that Luke knew briefly, R5-D4, the orange droid that blew his motivator and did not become Luke's property.
Twists of fate. Or is it perhaps luck, Pete?
A little bit of both. I want to know how the Inquisitor knows so much about Jedi that they feel pain. What's going on with this particular thread? Maybe, Matt, in the next 2 episodes, we'll learn all sorts of things about the Inquisitor.
Pete, I'm sure that all questions about how the Inquisitor uses the dark powers of the Force but is not a Sith, I'm sure that will all be answered very, very quickly. Because that's how they roll.
Our boy Visago here, the droids are just for anybody paying close attention, they are the Macquarie drawn versions of the IG-88 bounty hunter droid.
Ah, I did recognize them from some Macquarie stuff that, you know, Pete, as you know, and we'll save her story for our listeners for some other time or perhaps never, had a friend in high school who was big into he was big into getting into the Star Wars role-playing game universe. Most of it would consist of him just suddenly making up rules like, suddenly a Womp Rat appears, and your tank explodes, and I win. but a lot of that kind of, you know, role-playing game stuff had the Macquarie artwork and similar stuff. So it did look familiar to me, but I didn't know the IG-88 thing. Nice little reaction there from the one robot. So shocked to hear that there's a Jedi, the forbidden thing that he must turn.
Like, what?
Does not compute. Literally.
Beep, beep, boop, beep, boop.
What do you think the numeric or I won't say alphabetic, but the basic, the Ourobeshic readout on the front of these droids? What do you think it shows?
Pretty sure I had seen at one point it was floating around out there, but I don't recall what it was.
Pete, you disappoint us.
Everything is possible, Matt.
All the millions and millions who listen worldwide, tonight they weep. Or they listen during the day, now they weep during the day. Right now, Marge in Billings, North Dakota is crying at her desk and people are wondering why. And it's all your fault. Keep it together, Marge. Pete will come through for you soon. I've always liked this kind of hatch. I know it's not the first time we've seen it. I think it's kind of a design element left over from some of the Clone Wars stuff.
Yes.
I know why it doesn't appear in the movies, because it's more difficult than a gangplank that goes up to, you know, nowhere, and then you put a fake ship around the nowhere, but it's fun. I really love that he assumes that the cultural show of respect is pet my head. That's just, that's, I really like that.
It would have been very easy to paint him in the simple smuggler's light, and the writing on this show, for as much as we, you know, joked early on, this is, you know, Space Aladdin and stuff like that. Visago is a, he's a nuanced character that I think people have really come to appreciate, not unlike a Honda Onaka.
Indeed. Indeed. And people for, or rather, Pete, for people who don't get the joke, same voice actor, yes?
Yes.
And just, I mean, to clarify, and I'm sure it's clear in the minds of the listeners, but it's not that we've been critical of the writing as much as, like, the writing has always written to the best that was given to them in budget. You know, when you're not able to do a different planet each week, and all the design planning and character planning and animation and all that, then yeah, then you get stuck on the city with, you know, two streets that meet at the right angle and the grassy plains and the ship, and that's kind of it. But the writing has always, you know, given that the writing is stuck on Lothal too, they've maximized that.
I got to disagree with the very early episodes in the show, in that, you know, the scavenger aspect of Ezra was a little overplayed.
I would agree that the show was not born, shall we say, ready for school, but the growing up it had to do was not considerable.
I agree with that.
I mean, if anything, it makes me feel admiration for shows that can just stick the landing in a piled episode.
For certain. And, you know, that they were able to overcome it early on and reach a place where they're giving us, you know, Jedi waterboarding here. you know, all the more props.
Pete, the very first time I saw Empire Strikes Back, which was on home video, I remember getting to the scene where you know, Han is being tortured and he's just, you know, crying out. And now I'm probably 7 at this point, something like that. And it so upset me that I remember turning it off and just ejecting it and just being so, like, blown away, and couldn't handle it. And my solution as a 7-year-old was to take the movie back and go get Return of the Jedi. So I was kind of a bit surprised where that picks up the first time through.
Wow. I've not heard that story, and we need to talk about your trigger warnings.
I just mentioned that because I guess I'm in the minority there, given that they're doing a condensed version of that in this episode. Excellent freaking animation here. The shuttle in space. The detailing on Chopper.
Mm-hmm.
Even
the no-eyed Imperial guys.
I continue to rewatch these episodes and just marvel at, you know, I must have been watching at least these earlier episodes. I know, as I said before, I know I was watching them on the Disney XD app on Apple TV. I genuinely think they must be showing it at a lower resolution than at least, you know, I'm watching this episode now on the website. Like, it's just, you know, it's not like 1080p, but there's just such a richness to the animation here. Oh, Pete, I saw the corner of an eye. Well, this guy's eye, they do have eyes, confirmed.
They do have eyes, but they can't completely see out of them because of those little caps.
Now, I would be the first one to admit I know nothing about, you know, what computer animation, what you can and can't do in computer animation, what the limitations are. I guess I'm just a bit surprised that there's not a program out there that says, here's what Imperial, you know, officer guy, generic officer guy, here's a basic model. Okay, computer, give us between, you know, we want to have 100 guys that are between 5'2 and 6 foot. We want to have, you know, weights between, you know, we want to have thin, medium, and heavy. We want to have big, you know, bigger eyes, smaller eyes, just that you can't just say, click, 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 give us 100 guys. Clearly that's not the case, but I'm just kind of surprised that isn't, you know?
Well, I dig the stylistic choice to present them in such a light that, okay, they pull these down tight. There's a lot of guys doing this. It's kind of, it's the way you wear it, Matt.
If that is the story affect that hides the little cheat in animation, which indeed is the case, then that totally works for me. By the way, there's a shot coming up here. I believe it's like an overhead shot there of like Chopper in the this is just fabulous there. The little tiny Chopper with the tail, yes. the fire trail. I mean, this is a show preparing for, you know, a heck of a season finale next week.
I think when we watch this, though, you might have reached out to me like, hey, stormtroopers just ejected into the darkness of space. Was that murder? Is that ringing a bell?
That absolutely is, because isn't the answer yes?
They are alive. We've seen stormtroopers on the surface of the Death Star before. Outside it.
So you're telling me that every stormtrooper uniform, oh wait, speaking of murder here, at least that's attempted murder right there. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, murder as we know it, which as I tweeted earlier today, I'm sure that the cantina restaurant at the Disney parks will serve droids. Let's live in the future. Hashtag no hate. So I'm glad to see he's okay, but we know to kill a droid is murder.
Those loath cats are going to rip him apart.
Maybe it'll be like a hybrid. This really is a fantastic penultimate episode. It's such a great springboard for the conclusion of just the astonishing growth that this show has had.
And to come full circle with you know, a touchstone locale from the prequel trilogy, get the little flourish of the theme for it, and you know, the best of Clone Wars gave you, you know, a 3-episode arc could really be viewed as a 90-minute movie. And that's really what we have with these final 3 episodes.
Pete, you know what else is like a movie? Is being able to interact with you on Twitter. Because it has drama, comedy, tragedy, and at the end of the day, it's fulfilling. How can people do so?
You can find me on Twitter at Peter, P-I-E-T-E-R, J. Ketelaar, K-E-T-E-L-A-A-R, 6,141 followers. Can't be wrong.
And while I am personally on Twitter as Looking Back Lost, you can be in touch with the podcast in a variety of ways. We are Fantastic Geek. That's fantastic with a P-H. You can find us at the .com, the Gmail, and the Twitter. Tell us more, Pete.
You can also find us on the facebook.com/fantasticgeek. Again, all one word with the PH. Like us today and you'll reap the benefits every day.
Ooh, nice. Well, with that, Pete, can't believe we have one more Star Wars Rebels podcast to go, at least for the summer. But that's for next week. For this week, I will give you the final word.
What the Mustafar?